The hymn writer said, Elijah's God still reigns today. We rejoice in that. We have learnt much about Elijah's God these past few weeks. And when Elijah was alive, God had upon the throne of Israel a man named Ahab. And Ahab had many wonderful opportunities, both to personally seek the Lord and to serve the Lord, but he failed on every single occasion. And of course, that would be our concern for you and even myself today, that although the Lord gives us opportunities to serve him and to live for him and to seek him, we might miss them time and time and time again, as Ahab did. Ahab was a solemn reminder of what happens to those who ignore the Lord. We were introduced to Ahab way back in 1 Kings chapter 16. And we were told there who he was, who his father was, and we're also told that he did exceedingly worse than all the kings that were before him. And so the moment we're introduced to him, we're told straight away of the wickedness of this man's behavior. Let me just list some of the things that he did. He ignored the word of God time and time again. He worshipped Baal, married Jezebel, an ungodly wretch. He provoked God to send the famine. He permitted God's servants to be murdered. He chose time and time again that which was convenient rather than that which was correct. He permitted the death of Naboth. And then in chapter 22, this morning we read of the end of Ahab's reign. And I have to say this morning, this is a very solemn chapter. And it brings me no personal delight to bring a message about this man who died without Christ. Countless opportunities. He had one of the most significant prophets of the Old Testament ministering to him. But he chose not to bow the knee to Jehovah. Right throughout his life, here was Ahab's principal problem. He disregarded God's word. Disregarded God's word. And that disregard for the word of God brought his speedy death. And that's where we are today. I want you to see this morning how Ahab sought for a convenient word, a suitable word. You see, when you and I come to the Bible, this is God's word. And we ought to come seeking simply what God says, not what we want to hear God say. And that's so important. Let's look at the opening verses of chapter 22 here. Verse 22, it says that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. I think it's just significant that the Bible says that he came down to the king of Israel. For that is definitely true. Jehoshaphat left Jerusalem, the privileged city, a blessed city, and literally, physically, he came down from the heights of Jerusalem down into the area of Samaria, lower ground, and let me tell you, it was lower ground, spiritually speaking as well as physically speaking. But Jehoshaphat comes down from Jerusalem, and let me just mention Jehoshaphat to you, because the first time you have him mentioned in this narrative that we're studying, Jehoshaphat was a good and godly king. He was a good man. He ruled over Judah and Benjamin. He ruled in Jerusalem. Remember how the tribes were cut in half? Judah and Benjamin and the other 10 tribes. He ruled the two tribes that were loyal to King David. He was an ancestor. He was a grandson, if you like, of King David. But let me say this. He was a good man. He was a godly man. But I have to say, he appears to be very naive. It's a dangerous thing. It is right to be good. It is right to be godly. But we need to be cautious against being naive. Because he came down to the king of Ahab, the king of Israel. And here's what the king of Israel said to him.
You see there in verse 4, "And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead?" Now here is an unholy alliance. An unholy alliance. Here's a man of God, Jehoshaphat. And here's this ungodly Ahab, who was renowned even in his day for his wickedness and evilness, whose wife was even worse than he was. And here's Jehoshaphat joining an alliance with him. Remember, if you were there with us on Wednesday evening, we read a verse of scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:14, where it says, "Be not unequally yoked together with the unbeliever." And that's not strictly speaking about marriage. That is speaking about relationships in general. Be not unequally yoked together with the unbeliever. In fact, that chapter of 2 Corinthians 6 deals more with religious life than anything else. But here's this man. He is yoking himself with the unconverted. And that was bad news for Judah. Bad news for Benjamin. But what really surprises me is this. In verse 4, Ahab says, "Jehoshaphat, I want to go to battle, but I'm not strong enough. I want you to join with me and let's fight together." And even today, you see that invitation to be unified. It's always painted in a very beautiful way. Let's put away all the divisions. Let's put away everything that separates us and let's just be one. Let's just be together. That is not always right. If there's sin involved, if there's rebellion against God, sin must be dealt with. And it wasn't here. And that was a problem. And it led to disaster. But verse 5 intrigues me. Because Jehoshaphat, let's just read verse 4. Jehoshaphat says to King Ahab, "And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." And in fact, what he's saying is, Ahab, I am at your disposal. We are like twins. We are like, actually, we're more than that. We're like one man joined together, you and me, and let's go to battle. And then he says in verse 5, and verse 5 comes far too late. Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." Well, that's a bit late. You've already made your commitment. Maybe I can bring this into the realm of a marriage. Two individuals, they meet up, they decide to get married. One unsaved, the other saved. And then as they have walked down the aisle, they have made their vows publicly before the people, before God. As they walk down the aisle, they get to the pot of the church. One spouse says to the other, "Hang on a minute, let's just inquire of the Lord whether we should get married or not." Too late. It's too late. The commitment was made. But Ahab did go to search for a word. Verse 6. "Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." And here you are, Ahab, after the vow and the commitment has been made, he brings in all these, whatever you like, prophets of the gods, plural, okay, so these aren't Jehovah's men, prophets of the gods, and he brings them all in, and there they all arrive, and they're going to really stir up Ahab's adrenaline. Go for it, Ahab. Go and fight against Ramoth Gilead, and the Lord be with you. You'll conquer, you'll win, because we say so, and this is the word that you need to hear. And Ahab's happy with that, because Ahab didn't want to hear what God had to say. He wanted to hear something that suited him. He wanted a suitable word. And that's exactly what he got. Let me tell you, the word of God has much to say about that kind of behavior. About simply sitting down, maybe hearing a sermon or reading the Bible, and all you want to hear is something that tickles your ears. And that's how a lot of churches are excelling today.
I could take you to the churches and they're huge. And yet there is no mention of the blood, no mention of sin, no mention of hell, no mention of redemption, no mention of Christ. Unless he's coming along to bless you. Because people love to have their ears tickled. And that's a sign of judgment. For God said in the days of Jeremiah that I will give to the people men that will tell you what you want to hear. And that's what happens. And it's happening today. And that's what's happening in Ahab's day. There was 400 prophets ready to tell Ahab what he wanted to hear. How many were there assembled to speak on behalf of Jehovah? At this point, none, because Ahab didn't invite them. There wasn't any. There was, but they didn't want to hear it. Can I take you to a few verses just on that theme of looking for a word to suit yourself? Go with me to Psalm 50. Psalm 50 in the verse 17. Psalm 50 in the verse 17. Very powerful verse here. It says, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. And the Lord is dealing with a people here because they were just seeking for suitable words and they hated correct instruction. This is the psalm that we sang together. Go to verse 16. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldst take my covenant in thy mouth? You call yourselves a people who are in the covenant of God. You call yourselves a people who obey the Lord and a people who follow the Lord. Yet, verse 17, yet, or seeing, thou hatest instruction and carest not, or castest my words behind thee. Here's what's happening with Ahab as well. They might even say that, yes, Jehovah's God, we accept that, but they don't really want to hear his word nor seek to obey it. Verse 18 of Psalm 50. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him and hast been partaker with adulterers. And what that means is you might take the name of Jehovah upon you, his people upon you, but you live like the devil. That was like Ahab. Can I take you to another passage? Let me go to a couple here with you. Go to Proverbs. Here's the opposite end of this. Someone who does obey God's word. Proverbs chapter 8. And I want this to encourage us all this morning. Proverbs 8 in the verse 34. Opens up with that word blessed. Happy. Proverbs 8, 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favour of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. It's particular at verse 4. It says, blessed is the man that heareth me, that sits daily at my gates, watching to hear what I say. Blessed is that man. Happy is that man. Listen, it does not mean that your life's going to be fluffy and lovely. Because remember Naboth, who Ahab's wife Jezebel had stolen. He obeyed the Lord. He waited for the word of God. And he obeyed the word of God, even at the expense of his own life. But men and women, happy as that man today. God was right. Happy is the man who waits daily upon the Lord to hear what God would say to him. Be encouraged to read your Bible in the morning, whatever time you can have. But we can go to the New Testament. You don't have to because you'll know the passages. Matthew 7 and Matthew 13. There's two illustrations there. The first one is the one about the man who built his house in the sand. Do you know what that verse says? It says there that so is the man who does not hearken to the word of God. He's like a man who builds his house upon the sand. And someday the rain will come and his house will fall. And that can be like your life. You might hear the word of God. You might know the word of God, but do nothing about it. You do nothing about it, but you keep on building your life. And you keep on walking as if you are one of God's people. And someday, God will rain upon you and everything will fall to the ground because you built it all in sand and no solid foundation. What about that parable where the Lord says about the good seed? The good seed is sown at times into thorny ground, and that seed is received, but the thorns come and choke it. There's people who, yes, they've heard the word, they might even believe what this book says, but when things come up to distract them, the word of God dies and they carry on, ground full of weeds and thorns. That's exactly what Ahab was doing. That's exactly what Ahab was like. Men and women, you see this book. Like I said in my prayer, this is a book of pages and a cover that will disintegrate it. That's the form of this book, but it's the words of God recorded on it that will never ever change. You read these words, you get them into your heart, you take this book really seriously. Because let me tell you, your life now and your whole eternity, all of your eternity depends on how you respond to the truth of this book. End of story. Everything depends on how you respond to this book. So take this very, very seriously. I would say, save the non-saved as best as you can. You be in this book every day. And can I say, do not treat this book in such a fashion whereby you flick through it and you try and find the verses that suit you. Don't do that. That's an injustice to God's word. You open this book. You take it systematically. Do something. But do not just open the book looking for wee verses that suit you. Nice wee promises that are nice for you to take with you. You go into bookstores and Christian and non-Christian, sometimes there's wee verses on books and pencils, and they're all well and good, but they're usually all good verses. I mean, verses that say, God bless you, and God is good, and God is love, and all those things are right, true, and proper, and that's why those things sell, and everybody will receive those, because they're nice little messages, and they're fine, they're well and good, but that's not how you treat this book, just going to the verses that are nice. You read it all. And you take it all as the word of God. If God is good, remember he is also just. If God does you good, remember he will also judge you for your sins. Take this book seriously. As for Ahab, all he did was he sought for a suitable word. So he got suitable prophets to tell him what he wanted to hear. Let's go back to our text, 1 Kings 22. So, firstly, here's a man who sought for a suitable word. But secondly, I want you to see how they ignored God's word. Because Jehoshaphat recognizes a problem here. Verse 5. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. That was fine. Ahab sought prophets and they came and spoke. Verse 7. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? So Jehoshaphat wants at least, and he is a good and a godly man, he says, listen, you have all these prophets of the gods here, but I want a prophet of Jehovah. That's pretty reasonable. And so, verse 8, and the king of Israel, Ahab, said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man. That's a lie. There are plenty of men. There were Elijah and others. But anyway, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. And let's just stop there. He recognizes that here is a man, that if we get him, we are actually inquiring of the Lord Jehovah. Are you clean daft, Ahab? Would he not be the first man that you would go to? But read on to see what it says. There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me. Oh, is that not a definition of our day? Oh, we want to be religious. We want to be involved with the things of God. But I hate men and people who preach the truth. I hate them who say things that aren't nice to me. I hate people who say there's a hell. I hate people who say there's sin. I tell you, Ahab's spirit still lives amongst men today.
So let's read this, verse 8. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so.
To cut a long story short, they called for Micaiah. Jehoshaphat persuaded him to call for Micaiah. And while Micaiah's en route, the other 400 prophets are hard at it. They're telling Ahab how he should go, how he should go and fight against Ramoth Gilead and so on and so forth. Now, while they're all prophesying and telling lies, a messenger goes to get Micaiah. Verse 13. And the messenger that was gone, they read verse 13 with me. It's really important. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. There's even unity. Must be true then. With one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Again, this is the very nature of so many today. Don't speak truth. Ignore what God says. Just say what's good and uplifting and something that will make us all feel happier and better about ourselves. Let's just preach prosperity. Micaiah had a bit of wit. Verse 14. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Let me tell you, you see the pressure that Micaiah was under there still exists today. There's still that pressure to not take God's word too seriously. Okay, we believe in the word of God and we would call ourselves Christian, but let's not just talk about sin. Let's not talk about hell. Let's just back off from all that radical stuff. Let's just deal with the passages that are nice. Well, Micaiah said, I'm going to be faithful. And whatever God says, that I'm going to say. And let me tell you, that was a remarkable stand for Micaiah to take, for he knew as soon as he walks before the king, he's against 400 other prophets all telling Ahab what he wants to hear, he'll lose his head. That was very possible. He knew he was going to stand for truth at the cost of his life, and he would die in horrific circumstances. He didn't die in the end, but it was very, very possible. Now, I want you to read verse 15. Because you might read verse 15 and think, has Micaiah just compromised? Has he bottled in and, you know, what's he doing? Verse 15. So he, Micaiah, came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he, Micaiah, answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. You could read that and think Micaiah just, well, bottled under pressure, but he didn't. You see, there's a little difficulty here. You see, when you read a book, you can't read sarcasm. You can't see it in words. But that's what's happening here. Micaiah has been very sarcastic. He's mocking the whole thing. So picture like this. He walks up to the king of Ahab, and all these men, as he comes before the throne, they're all shouting and talking, saying these very words. Go ahead, Ahab. Go and fight against Ramoth Gilead. Go and prosper. The Lord will be with thee. And he waltzes up with the prophets. He stands in the midst of them, and he says, hey, Ahab, yeah, let's go for it. Go ahead to Ramoth Gilead. Sure, the Lord will be with you. Sure, you'll be victorious. And King Ahab knew he was being sarcastic, because read verse 16. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? He got the sarcasm. He knew that Micaiah was mocking this whole scene. Micaiah's walking up and he's simply saying, listen, I can do what these other men can do. I can tell you anything you want to please you. I can do the same as these men. They're all fools, and I can be a fool as well. And he mocks the whole thing. And Ahab didn't miss it. So then the real message comes in verse 17. Here was the message of God. And I want you to get this now.
And he, Micaiah, said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, every man to his house in peace. Don't go and fight. Return to your home in peace. Don't do it. The word of God, men and women, is crystal clear. Crystal clear.
There's something else I want to just point out right now. Nobody said a word except for verse 24.
And here you have a man called Zedekiah. Do you know what he does? He's one of the prophets.
He's supposed to be a prophet of God. And he comes to Micaiah, it says there, and he punched him in the face. And he said, how dare you speak like that? And I find that very intriguing. Out of everybody who's gathered, who is the first person to contend with truth? A false prophet. And that's still the same today. It's always those who say they are followers of Jehovah, yet they are not, are some of the first to oppose truth. The devil's servants, wolves in sheep's clothing. Anyway, you read those words of verse 17, and Micaiah said, listen, everyone turn to their house in peace. That's the word of God. Don't go to battle. Now, I want to make sure you've got it, in case you're half sleeping there. You didn't get it. Micaiah said, this is the word of the Lord. Do not fight. Go home in peace. Josiah, or Jehoshaphat, Ahab, do not fight. So, if you read with me, verse 29. After Micaiah had spoken, so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. Completely ignored the word of God. They want that suitable word. Ahab got it. Then they receive God's word and they completely ignore the message of God. And let me challenge you today. Is that what you're doing? Because both people are here, unbelieving Ahab and believing Jehoshaphat. And both did the exact same thing. They both ignored the word of God. And they wonder today, is that your problem? You ignore God's word. You might say you're a follower of God, as both of these men would have said. Both of them want to hear the word of God, or so they said, and they receive it and they just completely ignore it. And I wonder sometimes, do you pray for God to speak to you? And God does speak and you do nothing at all. That's sin. And all sin has its consequences. Can we just thirdly and finally then say the results of God's word? We thought about a suitable word. We thought about ignoring God's word. Let me show you the result of God's word. And the result of God's word, men and women, is always the same. Whatever God says, that's what will happen. And he warned them not to go to battle. Now, what did God say to Ahab in these chapters? Well, just go back with me, because let's go to the past couple of weeks here. Chapter 20. Here's the results of God's word. Whatever he says comes to pass. Chapter 20 and the verse 42. God said to Ahab, and he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. So here's the king Ahab and the people of Israel. They're all going to suffer immensely for what Ahab did. That was the first word. Then go to chapter 21 in the verse 19. Here's the next word. Chapter 21, verse 19. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord. The him is a reference to Ahab. Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed? And remember, this is when he permitted Naboth to be killed. Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood. Chapter 22, verse 17, our text. And he said, I saw Israel scattered upon the hills, a sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master, let them return every man to his house in peace. So here is a flock of sheep and their shepherd is gone.
is going to die. Their king, their leader, is going to die. Now,
regardless to what Jehovah has said, these two kings go to battle. And they go and fight. Why? Not because of doing God's will. It's because of power and possession. They want more power. They want more possessions. And that's why they go and fight. Regardless to everything that God has said, they're going to press on and fight. And just let me give you a little word of application at this point. I wonder today, is that what you're doing? Is that why you ignore God's word? It's because of a power and a position thing. If you hear God's word and you do what God's word says, you have a problem, you're going to lose your power. You're going to lose your position amongst maybe friends or family. You're scared of what happens. It feels like everything in your life, the rug will be taken below you and everything will change. And because you're scared of that. Therefore, you will continue to ignore God's word. That was Jehoshaphat's problem. He was scared now to back off. He committed himself. That was Ahab's problem. Let me tell you, God's word will always come to pass. Let's observe the battle. Verse 30. Verse 30, it says there, and the king of Israel, now get this, it is actually laughable. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself. That's a good idea. I will disguise myself and enter into the battle and put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. Now get what's being said there. Here's this unholy alliance. And this is what always happens in an unholy alliance. Here you have Ahab and he's looking after number one. He says, I'm going to disguise myself. I'm not going to get into the battle dressed as the king. They're going to get me. So I'll go in dressed with ordinary armor. And Jehoshaphat, you put on your royal robes and put your crown on and let the whole of Israel and Judah know that you are the king. Here's what they're doing. Here's their tactics. Ahab's going to go into the battle in stealth while Jehoshaphat puts a big target onto his chest saying, hey, everybody, shoot me, I'm the king. And there's your unholy alliance. Jehoshaphat was naive here. And he did exactly what Ahab said. The worst tactics in Baal. But let me tell you, God didn't miss the mark. Go with me to verse 34. Now get this, there's millions in the battlefield. And verse 34 says, a certain man, don't even know his name, a certain man drew his bow at a venture. And that word venture means in his simplicity. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of the chariot, turn thy hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. Now I want you to get this. This random person in the battle, obviously he wasn't very skillful because he's not even aiming. What kind of a person in the battle just shoots into the air? You aim, you try and do something, but here's this guy, I don't know what he's doing, he just pulls the bow back and just shoots the arrow out. And it's almost like the hand of God takes the arrow. Forgive me for my poor analogy, but there's truth in this. It's almost like God takes the arrow and directs it right into the one place in Ahab's armor where the arrow would pierce straight through and kill him. Because God doesn't miss the mark. Let me tell you, again, there's a point here in the sovereignty of God. People often say, does God take care of every single thing? He takes care of every arrow in every battle. Verse 38. And one washed the chariot. Well, actually, verse 37 as well. So the king died and was brought to Samaria. And they buried the king in Samaria, and one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor, according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. You see, you might look for a suitable word and get it. You might hear God's word and ignore it. But let me tell you, God's word will always come to pass. So one closing verse to wrap this up today.
Because right now we're talking about men thousands of years ago. But let me quote to you a passage which is very much up to date and applicable to you. And that's Luke 13. And here's what Luke 13 says. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Except ye repent. There is God's word. It might not be suitable, but it's true. If you do not repent of your sin, if you do not turn from your sin, walk away from your sin and pursue God, repent of everything which is anti-God and turn to Him. If you don't do that, you will perish just like Ahab. You might not die and have your blood licked by dogs, but you'll be in the same place Ahab is. And you'll be in the same place as everybody is who does not turn from their sin, and that's God's hell. And men and women, what is the result of God's word? Whatever God says will come to pass. So please take that word seriously tonight, today. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. This book is too serious to take it lightly.